From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, the rector of St. Mark's. Welcome.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, after my grandmother died, my mother and I and my sister were going through boxes of letters like you do, and we came across a series of letters about my grandmother's father, my great-grandfather, James Henshaw. And James Henshaw worked in Waco, Texas, and owned a boarding house, but there's this odd period of time in his life where he went away from the family up to Lake Whitney near Hillsboro and then came back. And I looked at my mom and I'm like, I was kind of curious about that time lapse. And she said, "Well, here in the letters you find that he suffered from melancholy." And I said, "Oh, melancholy. That's what I have." And suddenly I was like, I have claimed melancholy as my ailment. I'm not depressed. I just have melancholy. And melancholy is what I suffered on Tuesday night for some reason. I was in sort of a place and was in sort of a melancholy sort of mind. And one of the privileges I have is I have a key to this church and can come here whenever I want. And so I did. I left our house and came up here about 9:30 and I sat in the back. I haven't had this kind of melancholy for a while, so I was curious about it. So I thought, well, I'll just go to the one place, the refuge I have, which is this church, and I'll sit in there and I'll think about it all. The last time I had this sort of melancholy was about 10 years ago, really. 2010, maybe 8. I came in the church before we had done the renovation, and I sat in the back, and I was sitting there going, "What on earth am I doing being a priest, much less a rector, much less, well, a human being?" The melancholy, borderline depression at that point. I was like, I don't deserve to be anywhere. And as I sat in the church, I began to be uplifted, which is the point of having this space. And I began to see all of the beautiful things that we as a group of people, the people of St. Mark's, have done. And as I sat back there, I was reminded of a time when I was in middle school at Camp Allen, the summer camp where we go. And I was just a goofball 8th grade kid running around. And what they did for us is they decided at the end of the week to gather us in this sort of out-of-the-way field, two cabins of us, and they said some prayers, and we talked about God, and we talked about who Jesus is, and we talked about this faith that has been proclaimed to us, and they washed our feet. The counselors washed our feet. And I'll never forget that water, which was sort of this water that was warm, but full of all of the dirt and the sand from 8th graders' feet. And they very, very gently sort of washed us and told us that what they had done to us, Jesus had done to them, and that what this was all about was about serving each other. And a lightning bolt went off in my mind. At that moment, 8th grade, 13, that I was to be a priest. And I'll never forget that moment. I thought, I am supposed to do that. I'm supposed to serve in the church. I was reading this gospel to you from Mark, James, and John. If you know their history, you know that they were indeed, they drank out of the cup and were baptized with those things of Jesus. James is beheaded because of pronouncing and proclaiming Jesus as Lord. John is exiled on Patmos for proclaiming Jesus as Lord. And you realize that had they not been so positively affected by that statement, all 12 of them, in that moment, if you are to be the servant of all, if you want to be great, be the servant of all. That is what has happened in spades over and over and over again. People like you, regular old people, just people making their way through the world, have been so overwhelmed by that commandment, and then they've gone and done it. By literally washing the feet of others, or by just serving others. Think about over and over again what Christianity has done to the world. Orphans and widows were to be discarded, not anymore. The outcast and the lonely were supposed to be outcast and lonely, not anymore. The people, the untouchables, don't touch them, not anymore. We have made a proclamation over and over again since that statement in the Gospel of Mark to be the servants of the world, and we have. It was pointed out to me that the church was the mother of the university, the mother of the hospital. Us, Christians, we are the ones who have taken the servant of all thing to heart and done it. All the way up to a field in 1978 at Camp Allen, where some now forgotten counselor who decided to work there for free for a week washed the feet of some boy from Waco to the point that it changed his life. And he stands before you today, a priest in the church, with a group of people who have committed themselves to the work here in this part of Houston to kind of look at Houston's wedge and take this part and claim it for ourselves. And we have yet to even begin to do any of it. We've just decided it's a good idea. We've been here for 80 years, and 80 years of thinking and trying and doing and going and thinking and trying and doing and going and failing and thinking and trying and doing and going and failing has wrapped up, and you can't imagine the footprint that we've left as the people of St. Mark's. And so I think about this future of ours then and this story. Because what's the greatest church in Houston? What's the greatest church in Houston? Who's got the greatest church in Houston? Well, it's not a pep rally, but yes, we do. Because we've made a decision, and it's not a perfect decision, but we're working at it to take the gospel out of here, out into there, and find those people and serve them as best we can. If it's in a cubicle at work, if it's big and small ways after a hurricane, if it's just tomorrow and you buy somebody you don't know a cup of coffee. Be the greatest. Serve the world. Amen.
Can't help myself. I can't.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.